All right, so fantasy draft, mock drafts, quickly approaching, starting to happen already. We just saw, we mentioned last week on our podcast, or I said last week, and if I use this over again, I can't say last week. Anyways, we mentioned on a previous podcast that Yahoo had just opened their fantasy basketball, which is our favorite. Their rankings are usually good, and they're just the way they run their leagues are awesome. So yeah, first of all, we're basically just going to do a fantasy 101 here, kind of introducing new people to fantasy basketball settings and all leagues and everything you can do here, different options you have. And then, I mean, also if you've already, obviously a lot of people that listen to this probably already have played fantasy basketball. So hopefully we can just throw some new ideas around or just some opinions that we have. Now, to be honest, myself, I have never been the commissioner of an NBA fantasy league. I don't know tons about the settings, but I do play all the time. And I know once the settings are set, what I have to do to follow the rules. But I do obviously have a co-host that probably knows, not probably, definitely knows a lot more about being the commissioner and some settings and all the other preferences you can have with fantasy basketball. And so I'm throwing this to you and I'm just going to follow along. So
yeah, and what's nice about this is it's going to help, you know, all different levels of fantasy players. It's going to help with people who haven't played or had as much experience with playing or running leagues. And then it's going to help with people who have been doing it for a long time and, you know, kind of throw out some ideas of like how you can improve things and tweak things. And we've touched on it, you know, over the course of the you know, 9 or 10 months we've been doing this now in Menace Podman. And even before that, you know, we've talked about certain things. You know, we talked about ideas for the fantasy playoffs and stuff like that. We talked about end of season stuff. And we're going to get into that a little bit today, too. So that's all stuff that's always good to just kind of take in and listen to and just think about, you know, how can I make my league better as a commissioner and stuff like that. You can always, you know, toss out ideas and listen to ideas and then just, you know, utilize them any way that you want to. So it'll be beneficial to anybody who listens to this.
Sounds good. So I think what the first way you got your ways to play, obviously the thing, daily fantasy sports, you throw it out here. I see it as a topic here. Yeah. That's the thing that really, that's my expertise. I love the daily fantasy sports because I love not having to pay attention to things sometimes for a whole season. So.
Yeah. So daily fantasy sports, for anybody who doesn't know, DFS, it's basically just you almost every single website that does fantasy has some form of DFS, but the most popular ones are like DraftKings, FanDuel. But you can go on almost any other fantasy site and they have some form of daily fantasy sports on there. It's basically just you go on every day that you play and you pick players who are playing that day, and you typically have until 7 p.m. that day. It's usually Eastern time to set your lineups and just pick whoever's playing that day.
Yeah. And I would say a lot of the daily fantasy sports, you do them by time brackets too. So they'll do a full day and they'll also have separate contests for 7 o'clock games, 10 o'clock games type thing. So,
yeah. And you kind of have like a fantasy budget that you can spend. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit, like the higher priced players are your star players, the ones that are expected to have the best performances that night. So, you know, those guys are typically the higher price. So you can't make your whole team be those type of guys. You have to be strategic about how you spend your budget.
Strategically cheap.
Exactly. So, it's fun. But there's a lot of luck involved. There's a lot of like, just, you know, a lot of just paying attention. You're right. You don't have to pay as much attention in the long term, but short term, you have to really look at like matchups and who's healthy, who's hot right now, who's cold, which, you know, like you said, is a lot of fun. And it goes along with a lot of like betting analysis and a lot of like strategy for that too. So, but it's a completely different game from if you're doing season long leagues. And that's my personal preference, because I've always enjoyed the challenge of like, you draft your team, you put your team together, and that's your team that you manage throughout the season. And you can make trades and you can make changes. You can, you know, adds, drops, all that kind of stuff. And it's really, I kind of feel like that's where fantasy came from, you know, like the dream of being a general manager.
Agreed.
Or like, you know, when fans would say, oh, why did they do that? Why did they trade that guy? Or, you know, this guy's a bum. I wouldn't have done that. I would do this instead. The fantasy sports gives you, the fan, the opportunity to, you know, run your own team. You know, you're the boss. And, you know, it's a fun challenge. And, depending on what sport you play, what sport you follow, obviously we're covering basketball, but it's just a way to kind of like put yourself into the game. And it gives you more incentive, like we've talked about before, to follow along with what guys are doing and what players are, you know, producing in terms of stats. And, you know, it's a great way to just kind of follow along with the box scores and pay attention to trends again. And like, you know, who's playing where, who's hurt, who's hot, who's not, all that stuff. So
yeah, I agree. That gives you, you're basically a general manager of a team, which is pretty sweet. And I think the daily fantasy sports, one of the biggest downfalls to me is that you're just interacting. Well, you don't have to, you can set up, you know, leagues amongst your friends, but this usually you're just in a pool of public people who knows where they're at, and you're just playing against them. Whereas your season log leagues that we usually play, you're usually playing with your friends, and that's
a huge bonus. Yeah, we'll get into that a little deeper, but there are different options that you can do for that, and there are different, you know, that'll get into kind of like what you're going to want to do with your leagues depending on those situations. But we'll save that here for a little bit. The first thing I wanted to talk about were like the different league types. So we're going to focus on season long for a little bit here in this discussion. I wanted to talk first about like different types of leagues. So you've either got what's called a redraft, which is where every season you're drafting an entirely new team. Just all the players are in the player pool. You draft everybody. And, you know, unlike DFS, I didn't mention this, but in DFS, you know, anybody can draft anybody. You know, you and I could both play DFS and we could both draft the same person.
Yep.
Yeah. In season long, you're drafting that player and that player is yours. Nobody else can have them. So that's why we get into like rankings and like, you know, who's going in which round and stuff like that in terms of prioritizing different players, different position players and stuff like that. So that's what redraft is, where you're drafting an entirely new team. You can also play in formats like Keeper or Dynasty, where you're keeping players from season to season. And that all depends on your own personal league and your league settings. So, you know, some Keeper leagues are like, hey, you know, you can keep your three best players. Some are, you know, like Dynasty formats where it's like you can invest more in a younger up and coming guy. And then like older players, not so much, you know, but it all depends on, again, like your own personal leagues and stuff like that. You know, you and I have discussed a keeper league that you're still in. I used to be in it. And that's a fun one where we kind of assign contracts to players.
Yep.
And that makes it interesting. You know, your contracts are essentially like your budget and you can't go over a certain number of years. And it just adds to the strategy of prioritizing, you know, who's going to be a better long-term asset versus a shorter term. So, you know, those types of leagues are a lot of fun. But the redraft leagues are the most common. And, you know, when we're discussing typically on this podcast, when we're discussing drafts and mock drafts and where guys are going in drafts, we're typically talking about redrafts. So,
Myself personally, I definitely prefer redrafts over keeper dynasty leagues, or anything similar. Yeah, I just think the redraft is the best to me, and it gives you that option to get in and out too if you want to. I feel like you almost get stuck in keeper leagues and you don't get replaced. I guess there's the option too, but I don't know. I feel like the redraft, you get the people are focused for the year that want to do it for the year, and
yeah, you're starting fresh. Yeah. And I think this is a good. I kind of want to segue here into draft types. You know, we'll get into more of the season long league types, but I want to talk about drafts here for a second, because this brings up a great point. I agree with you. I think redrafts are the best. And I think the biggest thing for me is drafting your team and the fact that like you can draft your whole new team, start over. Everybody is excited. It's a brand new season. Everybody feels like they've got a chance to win. Everybody's excited. And you know,
sure. I mean, it's the most exciting part of every fantasy league, I think, is the draft, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I was going to say, you mentioned, you know, the idea of being in a league with friends and stuff. There's different ways that you can draft, and you can either draft online or offline in person. My personal favorite thing to do is to draft offline in person when you can get all your buddies together and either go to somebody's house or go to a place, you know, a restaurant or bar or something like that. And you can do a draft in person with everybody there, and everybody can kind of see everybody's reactions and stuff. There, to me, there's nothing better in terms of the fantasy sports experience than that particular day and events, you know, just that draft, being there live, and, you know, the nervousness that everybody has, and especially as the draft gets deeper and, you know, who's falling, who's rising, all that stuff. It's just so much fun.
That moment when somebody snipes somebody right before your pick and they just fall backwards with their arms in the air.
Yeah.
You SOB. Like, that's fun.
But the most common way that we see it across different fantasy sites is to do the online draft, where you have a timer set. You can only have however many seconds to make your pick. You're drafting online, so it just kind of keeps moving. And that can be, you know, obviously that has a lot of pressure too. You know, you're on the clock. You don't want to click on the wrong player or anything like that. So it is easier to kind of make those type of mistakes. So I'm not as big of a fan of those, but that's how you're going to do mock drafts as well. You're going to be on a timer. You're going to be online and stuff like that.
So, I would even say a stupid comment, but a lot of people might have older people that are in their drafts. And I just had a fantasy football draft recently, and mm-hmm. it was an online draft, but it was after a party. So we were all, half of everybody in the league was together. So we all had our phones out and we're doing this stuff, but there was somebody outside smoking, and he was a little older, not so much over. He's a great guy, but he had, you know, he didn't log in time. He didn't. He didn't get there. So he's exactly not as savvy. So his first pick was, you know, Cooper Kupp. It was an automatic pick that he didn't actually want to make, but he wasn't able to. So basically, in a long story short, I'm just saying, the in person drafts, like you said, less pressure, and you don't have to be technically savvy. You won't forget about the draft time. You won't all those different things, pressing the wrong button, like you just said. So that's another advantage.
And that brings up a great point. So, you know, if anybody's wondering, like, what happens if you run out of time, what does happen is you get auto drafted, which means you're relying solely on whatever site you're on. You're relying on their pre-ranks, their default rankings at that point. They just give you who they deem to be the best player available, but they're not taking into account positional need or, you know, obviously anybody that you have, you know, personal preferences towards. So, 'cause they don't know that. It's tough, you know. You definitely, if you're into it enough, you can make your own rankings, and depending on which site you're on, you know, we've talked about that, some sites allow you to use your own pre-rankings digitally online, some don't. That's why, again, I favor the, you know, offline drafts, where you can kind of do everything on your own time and your own terms and your own way. You know, but it's to each their own. You have the options to do them differently. In terms of draft types, there are
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, so we had we have a draft coming, not for basketball, this weekend. I'm unable to attend because of the birthday that I mentioned. My mother-in-law's birthday is this weekend, so I won't be there. So I'm doing some other things. So I guess that would be a downfall of offline drafts, is I could pre-rank and give you them, right? And I can tell you and do it individually, but I can't pre-rank online and then just have it automatically work. So if people miss drafts, one benefit of an online draft would be, if a lot of people aren't going to attend, or, you know, people miss, maybe you do it online. You get together still for those people, but then do it online as far as
you could picking. Still, if you're not physically there, you could still potentially have the ability to jump online and still make your picks. But there's no guarantee of that. You know, you might be so busy that you might not be able to jump on and make your pick. And
correct. But then online, you could pre-rank at that time too.
Pre-rank. Yeah. Yep. You know, but you've got, if you're doing an online draft, like we said, you've got a running clock and stuff like that too. So
that's
you only
true.
Have so much time to be like, okay, am I up? All right, I got to make my pick. And But if you're busy, if you're in the middle of stuff, it's kind of hard to navigate that. So, you know, everything's ups and downs.
Yeah, everything's said and done. I agree, though. The offline, in-person draft is the way to go. But just mentioning some devil's head.
And we'll get, yeah, and we're going to get more into that. We're going to get into that here momentarily. I wanted to bring up real quick that there are two like main ways to draft in terms of draft types. Yep. The most popular, most common is a snake draft. And what that means is you start off, you've got the first, however many teams are in your league. You determine your order. The first team obviously gets the number one pick. You go all the way to, you know, whatever it is, you know, 10, 12, 14, whatever the total number of teams is in your draft. Whoever has the last pick of the first round would then get the first pick of the second round. And you just go around until you're back at the, you know, at the end of the second round is the person that had the first overall pick. Then they would get the first pick of the third round. And you just go in that order. You just go back around. In recent times, they've come out with like third round reversal and stuff like that to kind of make it more fair to where, you know, the person that wound up with the first pick they're at a huge advantage because obviously they're getting the presumed best player that's available. Now that would make them kind of wait longer in between picks to get their other guys and that kind
of. This might be a dumb question, but is there ever a possibility that you could have an order, let's say 1 through 10, right, through the first five rounds, and then the next five rounds is 10 through one and go opposite order?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm describing.
So that's what it turns out to? Okay.
Yeah, and it's becoming more popular like in recent years. I've never personally tried it before, and I think it's all, you know, dependent on what's going on because you've got different types of leagues, different types of people that are in those leagues. If you've got people who are hardcore, you know, that might make more sense for them. But people that are more casual and stuff, you know, it's all kind of a crapshoot anyways. And you know, we talk all the time about injuries and stuff. You know, who's to say that the person getting picked first or second or third overall isn't going to go down with a season-ending injury like right away? You know, yeah, anything's possible. So
I almost feel like they should do a rotation of like you pick first. If you're the first pick, you pick first in the first round, second in the second round, third in the third round, and just keep going a pick
down.
You
can do that. And oh, really? Again, like that's a – you know, I don't know what the sites are all capable of, but that's the beauty of doing offline drafts is you could do whatever the hell you want. Yeah. You can customize it any way you want. You can, you know, however you want to do your draft, your commissioner is going to just go in and fill in the results when you're done doing your draft. And then those are your teams. So
I always hated back-to-back picks. That's why I say that. So like having a, you know, when you're a one and then you get to the end and then you start over again and you snake around, you get back-to-back picks all the time. And I hate that. So I always thought it'd be cool to just completely switch the number every round.
But for sure. But I'll say too, I also like the snake format because it's fun for mock drafts. It's fun to kind of say like, all right, I want to pick from the 12 spots so that I do get those back to backs and I can kind of strategize at like who I'm looking at, you know, on the turn, you know, who are the guys that I think are going to be available, you know, and then after you make your picks, you know, you're not picking again for a long time. So it's like, all right, I got to get these guys now because I know they're not coming back to me. It just kind of adds to the strategy.
You get a good bathroom break or grab a beer or have a cigarette. So exactly. That's kind of cool too when you have that number one pick.
Yeah. So, you know, and like I said, snake is the most common way of drafting. But the other popular way to do it is auction. And I've never actually personally done an auction draft before. I've seen them. They look really, really cool. And the way that it works is you have kind of this like budget that you can use and you basically bid this fake money on players. So like, you know, the person that has the first pick, they just toss a player out there and you begin the bids, you know, so that those kinds of drafts are going to take a lot longer if you're, you know, kind of in a time crunch. Auction drafts, probably not the best for you. But, you know, again, if you've got a lot of people in your league who are pretty hardcore, you know, it's definitely something that's, you know, popular and something that I've always wanted to try. Definitely looks cool. You know, but there are ups and downs with it. So, and again, it all depends on your league. It depends on who you're playing with. You know, if you've got people that are more casual, they're probably going to prefer a snake draft just because it's easier. It's less time consuming and, you know, just a little more chill. But it all depends.
That's really interesting because I've never done an auction either. Obviously if you do like a daily fantasy sports, you're using salary, but obviously you can't have the same person, so it's kind of a I guess a in between. but it actually sounds like a lot of fun to me. I think I would be really into the auction drafts more than snake, because it kind of eliminates the thing, like I said, having the predictable kind of, I know that's fun. Some I'm doing the snake stuff too. You have your, I don't know, your different ways of doing it. But yeah, I think the auction would be fun because then, yeah, you're not always picking in the same spot. You're trying to get the players you want. I don't know. It does sound cool. I'd like to try that sometime.
And there's a lot of different strategy that you can implement with those drafts as well. Like you can throw a guy out there and then you can throw a really high bid because you know someone else really likes that player and you know that they're going to spend all their money on that guy.
Yeah.
Or on the flip side, you can toss somebody out there who's like a big time sleeper pick that you don't think anybody else is really going to know or care about, and you can get that player real cheap. You know, so there's a lot of different strategies to it. And again, that's where knowing your league and knowing who you're playing with has, you know, a major advantage to it. So, yeah, again, it's not anything that I've personally ever done, but it's something that I have seen and definitely something that I'd love to try sometime.
And there's definitely mock drafts out there for both types. So you can try it out as a mock draft as well.
Again, just know if you're committing to an auction draft, you're committing to a lot more time. So
exactly.
Just be patient. Let's get into the different season long league types. So the most kind of common and popular is head to head. And what that means is you're facing off against one particular team for that week. It's very popular in football because obviously football is weekly. They just play once a week. But it's the most popular format across all sports. So even with basketball, head to head is kind of the number one, you know, it's what most people play, where you're in a league with however many teams, but each week you're going up against one specific team. And in terms of scoring, there's different ways that you can do it. There's where you can do by each category, which is where, you know, like if you've got just every single category, it totals up your stats and then it goes off of that. There's also most categories, which is where you're just, hey, you know, we've got 5-4, you know, like I've got more, I'm better in these five categories and, you know, losing in these four. So your score winds up being 5-4 that week. You know, whereas in the each category format, it's totaling up everything. That's my preference. I prefer that because it breaks a lot of ties and stuff. You know, if you've got where every week all the matchups are 5-4, 4-5, 6-3, you're going to have a lot of ties in there. You're going to have a lot of similarities in terms of records. So I like getting down to the specifics, and I think that's where I personally recommend doing each category. But you have the option of doing either those, or you can do what's called points. And what that is basically, it's very popular in fantasy football, but it's also popular in basketball and other sports. It's basically where whatever the player does in terms of their production, it just adds them all up and puts them into what's called fantasy points. And in terms of basketball, a points format doesn't focus on 8 or 9 categories. It focuses more on counting stats, which is just typically points, steals, blocks, assists, rebounds, and then possibly like threes, you know. But other than that, you're not really talking about percentages or turnovers. So, you know, guys that are not as efficient, you know, their value rises significantly in points leagues. You know, that's why we've talked about guys in the past like Russell Westbrook, Ben Simmons, Zion Williamson, these guys that have been known to have a lot of like inefficiencies in their game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a chance for them to kind of have more value because they're not really hurting you so much. They're just gaining points for the things that they're doing versus losing points for the things that they're not doing. So, you know, it's like I said, it's kind of like the default standard in fantasy football. But in basketball, you know, it's kind of, it kind of depends on the site that you use, and we'll get into that in a little bit.
And that would go back to the daily fantasy sports as well. They usually do points as well.
Yeah. So, yep. DFS.
Same idea.
DFS is basically a points format. And then ESPN, all of their sports, fantasy sports, regardless of which sport it is, they pretty much all default to a point style. And they rank their players based on that. Whereas like on Yahoo, they default to head to head. And, you know, they default, I believe, to each category. So, you know, it all kind of depends on your site, but every site allows you to customize that. So you can pick and choose which style that you want to play. There's also a style called rotisserie, or, you know, we often call it roto. And what that means is so
you get a chicken, you put it on a spit, and you spin it.
In roto, everything just accumulates. So basically, you don't go head to head with one particular team. You're just all of the stats for every team just compile together. And then whoever's got the most points out of everyone gets a certain amount of points. So like, it depends on how many teams are in the league. If you're playing in an 8-team league and you have the most points in your league, you're going to have 8 points in that category. If you have the second highest points scored, then you're going to have 7 points. You know, it all depends on, you know, where you're at and how many teams you play, but everything just accumulates, you know? And so it can be a little bit more fair. There's less luck involved with roto because you're going about, you know, who's doing the best throughout the course of the season. It's not going week to week. It's just compiling everything. So,
yeah, I would say also rotisserie. I always notice, obviously, it takes a while to move, like if you're in standings, right, to move one spot to the other. Usually more time consuming. There's not big shifts within the standings in a small amount of time. Whereas head to head, you can get a lopsided matchup. You can get your somebody wins, you know, 8-1 or something all of a sudden, and you know, they jump up somewhere and whatever. Rotisserie is great too for the kind of weed out the people that don't pay attention towards the bottom. Whereas I feel like with head to head, a lot of time you have some people that just don't pay attention as much as they should to their leagues, and it makes a big difference on different weeks, you know, head to head. So
I think this is a perfect segue to talk about preferences, to talk about, you know, what, so we've kind of talked about this before. To me, in my opinion, I think fantasy sports and particularly fantasy basketball comes down to you, the player. What do you specifically want to get out of your experience playing? And, you know, we see people that want to play fantasy basketball just to try to make money. You know, they don't care who they're playing against. They'll go online and do all their drafts online, and they'll just play people for money. You know, they'll play, and, you know, some will play in like really, you know, high scale, you know, high risk, you know, formats, you know, where you're playing for tons of money. And then you'll have some that are a little bit more chill, you know, a little bit more, you know, just lower scale, you know, low risk, kind of just, you know, cheaper, you know, but in any case, they're playing for money and they're playing strictly to try to win and make money. Or you can do like what we've alluded to earlier, where you're getting a bunch of buddies together and you're playing in a league against your friends and you want to smack talk and you want to have fun and you want to, you know, make strategic trades and trade offers with people and, you know, have back and forth and all that kind of stuff. This is my opinion. I think, in my opinion, if you want to play strictly for money, you don't care who you're playing against, you just want to play for money, I think roto is probably your best option, because it makes things more fair. It really just shows who has the best teams throughout the duration of the season. So if you've got the best team early on, like you said before, the chances of you losing your lead is a lot slimmer in roto, because you don't have, you know, these like weeks where you lose 3 or 4 guys due to injury, or like something happens in real life where a guy's minutes get impacted negatively and go down, and then you lose, you know, stats out of that player and you're having to scramble and stuff like that. You know, a lot of like quirky things can happen in a head to head setting. Whereas in roto, again, you're not going head to head. Everything's just accumulating. So you can maintain your leads a lot easier. And at the end of the season, it's usually whoever had the best team wins.
And it's kind of like, It's kind of like weather. If I had take this, so like rotisserie is like global warming, right? And things happen slowly, but a little centigrade here and there, and things can start to happen. Whereas head to head is like, oh, a front came in, here comes a hurricane, a tropical depression, and boom, all of a sudden, 1 week, Florida gets destroyed. Like that can happen in head to head. Whereas rotisserie, it takes a little longer.
That is a fantastic analogy.
There you go. That's what I'm here for. That's why
I don't know if I've ever heard a better one than that. That's perfect. But yeah, so I think, you know, that might be the best way to go if, in terms of just trying to make money. It's probably the most fair and most balanced, but, and we've talked about this before, I think I can speak for both of us on this. You and I both, I think, prefer head to head. Just the excitement of it, the fact that it gives you that like March Madness kind of vibe, you know, like the anything can happen any week, you know, everybody's got a shot. If your team sucks, you know, you still have a chance to, you know, make some moves and come back and go on a run. You know, you have a fantasy playoffs. In Roto, you don't do a playoffs because, again, everything's just accumulating. You're not going up against one specific team. But in head-to-head, you do a fantasy playoffs, which is almost like March Madness, where, like, you can have the best team during the season, but come playoff time, I mean, there's a lot of luck involved. You got to make sure that you're going in healthy, that you're going in hot, that you're making the right moves. If you've made trades, they're strategic. You can make trades. To be clear, you can make trades in any format. If you're doing Roto, you can make trades in that too. And you can say, so, hey, look, you know,
Did you say there's no playoffs in rotisserie?
No, there isn't, because you're not going up. Yeah, you're not going up against anybody, you know? You're
that's
not
absolute bullshit. So I feel like not necessarily okay. So head to head, yeah, you go up against people 1-1. And I understand that we play that all the time. That's how you have your playoffs. Yeah. But rotisserie, why wouldn't go to a certain spot, stop the league, take your top four teams, and start a new rotisserie for the last 4 weeks?
Like, I mean, you can depending on what site you're on, you could probably do that. But that's not how it defaults to. You know, if you're doing Roto by default, you're not doing a fantasy playoffs. Mm-hmm. Everything just accumulates. And again, that's why I said, if you're in a Roto league and you're just trying to play for money, like, and you're an awesome team, you know, you don't want a playoffs. You want to just keep your top spot so that you can win and take your money and be done. You know, but again, like we just said, you and I personally, we both like the head to head because we like the excitement of like doing a playoffs and like, again, having a chance. If you're a middle of the pack team, maybe you had an awesome draft, but you lost a bunch of guys to injury, but you were able to like grind out and kind of play hard enough and win enough to maintain a, you know, a spot, get in the playoffs, but you know, you've still got a chance. Yeah. Your season's not just over.
I definitely didn't know there was no playoff in rotisserie. I've just never played it, and I now think rotisserie sucks completely. Like, I knew it before. Like, I didn't like it. Like, I liked head-to-head more, but now I'm even more – like, we just talked about, like, fantasy. Why we do fantasy? Because we want to be, like, the general manager and create our team and do this and blah, blah, blah. And if you don't have a playoffs, what's the point? The playoffs is the most exciting
Well, the
part.
Point is just that you had your draft. You drafted what – appeared to be the best team, and then obviously you played it out and your players did have the best amount of stats.
Yeah. So it's not realistic. And it's not realistic to me because if you had the best draft, great, but you shouldn't, you got to have guys that perform even in clutch time, you know.
It's realistic, but it's just it's not how sports is, you know. In every major sport, they've got that big playoff at the end, you know, and like we said, March Madness, you know, a team could be, you know, can come in as the number one seed, but they can lose in the first round.
You got the Cinderella ability.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just makes it that much more exciting. And especially, again, if you're playing with friends, here's the other thing too. If you're a commissioner and you're running a league, as a commissioner, you want to be able to make sure that everybody in your league is active, involved, having fun. And if you're in a Roto league and you're, you know, you've got a 10 team Roto league, those teams that are in 10th, 9th, 8th, probably even 7th place are probably checking out at a certain point and just saying, I'm done. You know, my team's too far behind. Like you said, it's harder to catch up in those type of formats. So you're just saying, all right, well, screw it. And that's why I said, if you're just playing to try to make money and take people's money, then Roto is probably a good way to go. Because if you're confident that you can, you know, be a great team, You can make money a lot easier that way because you're not relying so much on, you know, luck and fate and stuff.
Yeah, and unlimited competition.
And there are leagues where, like, you know, they pay out for, you know, top three finishes. So, like, if you just say, hey, look, if I can be one of the three top teams, I'm guaranteed to at least make some money, you know. So that's where, you know, Roto can be beneficial. But again, you know, if you're playing with friends and you want to have the most exciting and entertaining experience, in my opinion, and it sounds like yours too, the way to go is head to head. And that's personally what you and I do both play. You know, we've both talked about, you know, the leagues that we're in. The main league that I'm in, we've had the same group of guys for well over a decade. And, you know, we don't have turnover. We've got the same group of guys. They're always into it. Our drafts are always a blast. Like we said, that's like the best part of the season. But the whole season's fun. You know, everybody's into it. Everybody's engaged. You know, everybody keeps coming back for the next year. And, you know, we have a lot of parity too. You know, we've got a lot of, you know, because it's head to head and because a lot of things can happen, we do have some situations where a team comes into the fantasy playoffs as a one seed and loses early. And you know what? You know, crap happens, you know, shit happens. But that's, you know, again, how professional sports go, you know, and even how college sports go. You've always got that like tournament or that playoffs, you know, where even the low seeds have a chance to do something and knock off the, you know, the top team. And it just adds to the excitement and it gives everybody a chance and it keeps everybody engaged. And I think as a commissioner, like I said, that's what you want. That's what you want to strive for. You want everybody in your league to be into it, to be checking it, to stay on there, stay active, especially if it's your buddies.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Man, I forgot you got this a little other league type best ball, and I got to be honest, I had seen this thrown around best ball, and I was like, I don't even know what the fuck this is. I had no idea.
But it's become popular the last couple of years. It's kind of a newer format, and basically, it's where you just draft your teams. So you don't make any moves. There's no trades. There's no free
back to the Ronco, set it and forget it. Right.
Yeah. And again, like you said, there are a lot of people that are into that because again, like they don't want to make that commitment of having to like check it all the time. And, you know, they want to be able to just say, hey, look, I have the best draft, you know, and that's fine. You can definitely do that. And those have become really popular. And again, a lot of people do those for money.
So basically, as we just went through this head-to-head rotisserie and best ball, and in my opinion, it's if you want to become lazier and lazier and lazier with your involvement within your fantasy basketball team, I mean, it's basically kind of what it comes down to. And
you're right. And again, it's another way to figure out, like, you know, do I want to just try to make money?
Yeah.
You know, and do it in an easier way where I'm not really having to do as much, or, you know, do I want to have the challenge of going on there and being aggressive? And again, it all depends on what you're doing and what you want to do.
Yeah.
And then if you are playing in a league with friends, regardless of if it's head to head or roto, it's imperative that everybody's on the same page and everybody's in agreement with how the league's set up, how the league settings are. And we're going to get into some of those specifics here. It's really important that everybody's on the same page because otherwise you will have turnover. You'll have people who shut down. You'll have people who just say, you know, fuck it. I'm done. I'm not going to play anymore. I don't have a chance. And this league sucks. I don't want to be in it anymore. And then you're now, if you're the commissioner, you got to find somebody else to jump in. You got to try to sell it to them. I mean, it's a pain in the ass, you know? So you definitely want to make sure that, like, you know, everybody in the league is into it, that they're committed to it and that they're having a good time with it.
We
knew this would be a long conversation. Let's go ahead and get into we've got kind of a list of questions here that I'm going to read, you know, FAQ mailbag style. And I think the first question that I've got here is, when should drafts take place? You know, obviously the answer to most of these questions is going to be based on your own personal preference. But I think you and I can probably agree, and most people agree, the best time to draft is right before the season. That way you know, you've got a clear idea on, you know, rotations and like who's injured, who looks like they're gonna have a good year, who were some guys that maybe got overhyped and, you know, don't look as good now, you know, that sort of thing. You know, but we'll get into like when leagues can start and stop. You can do drafts at any time. You can do drafts after the actual season has started. So like if you're doing fantasy basketball, you could start your league and your draft week 2, week 3, week 4.
That's nuts. You know, so
yeah. To me, I think starting at the beginning of the league is the most fun because again, like every team's usually healthy because players haven't played yet. And everybody's, you know, into it. Every team in real life thinks that they have a chance. They're coming into it fresh. You know, a lot of teams, we talked about all the changes that every team made and how their rotations look coming into the season, or at least coming into training camp. So everybody's optimistic, you know, and I think that's the time where you kind of want to start playing and drafting and seeing how everybody's going to look and, you know, who's going to wind up putting up the best stats. You know, I think starting off fresh is the most fun and the best way to go.
I can't think of any great idea or logical ideas of why you wouldn't do it right before the season. I mean, everything you just pointed out seems like that makes the most sense. It's the most exciting time when you're looking forward to the tip off happening. But I'm sure there's some reasons why people do it. And if there are some reasons, send us a message. I'd love to hear them.
Well, so my next question here is when should leagues start and stop? So again, it's all based on preference, but most season-long leagues do begin at the start of the regular season. And they do all default to that. But like we said, you can change it. And we've talked before about how specifically with basketball, there are leagues out there that begin like around the holidays, you know, after football's ending. You know, some people out there say, hey, you know what? I don't want to be playing football and basketball at the same time. I want to just put all my focus and energy into football. And then once that wraps up, then I'll jump into some basketball leagues and I'll shift my priorities and focus to that.
I can understand that.
Yeah. And that's fine. You could do that. But again, you know, I think you and I agree that, you know, starting off at the beginnings, you know, probably the best way to go.
And I guess if you're at that point too, where you're like, oh, I'm going to start a league in December or January, February after football's over, just do the daily stuff. Like at that point.
This is true. This is very true.
Just my opinions.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We have talked before about this and you could go back and listen to previous podcasts and we'll probably discuss it again, but ending leagues, this is a big topic in the fantasy industry. Again, if you're in a roto league, you're typically not doing a fantasy playoff. So you can end those leagues whenever you want to. You can play them out for the whole season if you want. Or if you want to end it on a specific date, most sites let you do that, no problem. In terms of head-to-head, you can play out the entire season, but we do not recommend doing that. You know, the last, especially in the NBA, that last month of the season gets really chaotic. You've got a bunch of injuries, legit injuries. And then you have teams that are just resting players. You know, a lot of teams are jockeying for position. A lot of teams are saying, oh, you know, we're in the 3 seed. We want to stay in this seed because we like the teams that we'd be matching up with at 6. You know, we're trying to get to that 1 or 2 spot so that we can get home court. You know, if you're at the bottom, you're like, oh, you know, we're trying, you know, some teams are thrown in the towel and saying we don't want to make the playoffs because we want to get a higher draft pick. So there's some shadiness going on and guys get rested and shut down and stuff like that. So me personally, as much as I love basketball and as much as I love fantasy, I just can't stand that last month of the season. The other thing, and we've talked about this as well, is for us basketball fans, you've got March Madness in March. Exactly. And I love being able to just be done with fantasy basketball so that I can just enjoy March Madness and just enjoy the tournament and just focus on my brackets. And, you know, I can still watch NBA basketball and still follow along with it without having to do fantasy and having to grind out those head-to-head matchups or be in a roto league where I've already established that I'm one of the best teams and the last month isn't going to matter as much. So I don't personally have a problem with ending my fantasy seasons in the early weeks of March and then just saying, hey, look, you know, it's been a good season. I'm just going to sit back at this point. I'm going to watch the NBA games and I'm going to watch March Madness and just sit back and enjoy it. And you and I have talked about this and we'll continue to talk about it. You could play fantasy during the NBA playoffs. And you and I are both big fans of that. We've talked all about it. We'll continue to do so. And so to me personally, I love taking the, you know, majority of March and all of April to just kind of, well, I guess it's technically the first half of April to just kind of like sit back and just kind of assess where things are and where these teams are in real life that are looking at the playoffs so that you can do a playoff league starting in mid-April and you can draft a whole new team of guys that are just in the NBA playoffs. And then you've got a whole season of fantasy right there that you can do. And I love doing that. Just taking that little break and then getting back into it with the fantasy playoffs. That's great.
I was going to say earlier, you mentioned too, having doing football, ending football, then starting a basketball league. If you wanted to do it later, that is an option, right? But also if you end that basketball league, like you've just said here in mid-March, going into April, there you got your March Madness, but also April starts fantasy baseball. So if you're into baseball as well, you can start a whole new rotation going into baseball at the start of the season as well. So you got
and another thing that you mentioned, you can always do DFS. So that's if correct. You're in a season long league and you're concerned about, you know, stopping your fantasy league in March instead of April, you can stop your league and then just do DFS if you want to do something with the NBA. And that's a lot less, you know, pressure and annoyance because you're not necessarily as, you know, worried about who's playing and not playing. If you're doing DFS, you just jump on there, you know, close to the time to set your lineups. You just check on who's playing and who's not playing. You make your picks and then you're done.
Totally.
Yeah. So next question on here. How many players should you have per team? It depends on how many teams are in the league. Typically, though, a good number to kind of shoot for, in my opinion, is 150 to 160. I think that's a really solid number in terms of having a deeper league where you're, you know, having to kind of dig through the mines, so to speak, you know, to find, you know, those buried treasures and, you know, those guys on the waiver wire. You know, it's just a good balance to where, you know, there's talent out there, but you just have to work a little bit harder to find it because every team's deep enough. Every team's got enough talent. And that also leads to balance in your league. It makes it to where there's competitive balance. And again, everybody's got an opportunity to compete. And if somebody sustains a big injury or two, they can still make moves and still be competitive and still have enough talent on their team to field a competitive roster.
Nope. Completely agree again.
Yeah. You and I have talked about this before. How should trades be handled? This is completely up to the league. But you and I both agree on this. We recommend setting no restrictions on trades.
Agreed.
If Team A and Team B want to make a trade with one another, that should be the end of it. If the trade's blatantly one-sided, the commissioner can always step in and veto it and like put the guys back on their original teams. And, you know, if the league's saying, hey, look, you know, this is clear, you know, if you're in a money league, you know, and it looks kind of shady, you know, that's one thing. But if you're in a league with buddies and you're not playing for money or you're playing for like a little amount of money and there's like two teams that make a trade and maybe it's, you know, kind of like in the short term, like, whoa, this guy's clearly better than this guy. But these two teams have agreed to this trade. They're grown adults, presumably. And even if they're not, every commissioner is in charge of their team and they're entitled to do whatever they want to do with their team. And if you're in a, especially if you're in a league with friends, if you're in a league where you're not playing for money and stuff, there's no reason to have any kind of like voting on trades and holding up trades and making it less fun and making it more restrictive for people. You know, I think I speak for both of us. We just don't agree on that. You know, fantasy is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be, it goes back to what we said at the beginning. You know, it goes back to like giving us the chance to have control and run our team and do the things we want. We don't want somebody blowing a whistle at us and telling us we can't do this or we can't do that.
I would hit the whistle thing right now, but my, my soundboard's not working at the moment, but no, I completely agree. And especially, like you said, there's no money involved. There's definitely no reason to restrict any trades with no money. Who in their right mind with no money involved would, like, I don't know, team up to sabotage a league with friends? Like, it just makes no sense. So there should be no restrictions at all.
And on that note, should there be a limit on ads and drops?
No.
I think that's it.
No, man, no.
We strongly advise against setting a season-long limit. If you want to set a weekly limit, that's tolerable. Again, it depends on your league. If you've got a whole bunch of people that are all for setting restrictions for the entire season and they want that challenge of making, you know, strategic moves and, you know, having every move matter that carefully and, you know, importantly, then fine. But, you know, again, what we just said a minute ago, this is all about having fun. It's all about having control. You know, you're the commissioner, you know, or I'm sorry, you're the manager of your team. So you want to be able to have full ability to make moves and compete. You know, if you're in a, you know, we've talked about this, where if you're in a situation where you've used up your moves, you can't do anything now. You're just being told you're done. All you can do is sit back and watch and cross your fingers and hope for the best. That's no fun, especially if you're managing a team that's got a bunch of injuries and you've got a bunch of holes in your lineup that are just taking zeros and you have nothing that you can do about it. That's the worst feeling. And that's what ultimately leads to people quitting fantasy. That's what leads to people deciding to do DFS or just get into betting and do something else other than fantasy. And if you're a commissioner and you're running a league where you're trying to keep people engaged and keep people participating, that's the last thing you want to do, is set more and more limits and essentially boss people around and tell them what to do. That's the last thing that somebody playing fantasy sports wants.
Completely agreed. The position limits always killed me, because I always felt, yeah, if somebody wants to pay attention more than somebody else, let them benefit from that. That's always the way I felt from that. So if you want to make 20 moves in a small amount of time, go for it. That's the way it should be.
But I think we've summed fantasy basketball up really well here. I've just got two quick questions I want to go off real quick here. Just read off. And we've talked about this before. What is the best way to utilize waivers? And I want to specifically mention fantasy basketball here. In my opinion, I don't think waivers should exist in basketball. I just think players play every day. There's just too much going on. I don't think there's enough time to be able to sit through a waiver process. I think you have to have, as a manager, you have to have the ability to act quickly and just get people. And, you know, if someone gets dropped, that's something that manager that had that player decided to do. You know, there shouldn't be any kind of, it should just be, you know, like, if that player's dropped, they're now available. And, you know, they had their reasons to do that. So anybody that chooses to pick that player up, that's their choice. And, you know, it could be unfair at times if somebody misses out on an opportunity to add somebody who was dropped and they say, you know, oh, I was in the middle of something at work. You know, I couldn't just jump right on and grab them and somebody else got them before me. That's not fair. I agree. But again, when it comes down to it, in the grand scheme of things, you know, basketball is just too fast paced. You know, waivers is perfect for football. Again, football is once a week. You know, you have your players that play typically on Sunday, but whichever day of the week they play, that's their one game that week. And then you make moves after the games. And, you know, so you've got that, you know, the 3-day window or whatever it is to where you could put in waiver claims and bids and stuff like that. Basketball moves way too quickly for that. You've got games every single day, especially the NBA. You've got 30 teams. You've got all these players. Guys are going in and out of the lineup. Guys are getting hurt. They're getting traded in real life. And, you know, things are happening. You just don't have time, in my opinion, to be able to sit around and make waivers and stuff. What I do in my league, and we've talked about this before, I won't get too in depth with this, but we use waivers as a way to protect players that are injured, who you can't throw on an injured list because Yahoo or whatever site you're using hasn't changed that player's status to injured. So if you've got somebody who's marked as just out or day to day or whatever, but we know that they're going to be missing time, we allow, and at least in my league, we allow people to drop players so that they go on waivers, and then the commissioner just keeps those players on waivers so that nobody else can pick them up. Now, because we have waivers turned on, technically people can put bids in on those players, but if they're just staying on waivers, they're never going to get them. Or the other thing is they can put a bid on a guy and then they can claim him. But guess what? If it's not your player, the commissioner is just going to go on there and take that player off your team and put him back on the team that had him. So, you know, it's just something that, like, I recommend doing if you're in a league with people who you know and you can all agree on, hey, guys, listen, we're going to use waivers as a way to protect players that, you know, people have as injured that they can't do anything with yet. It just gives them the ability to quickly drop that player and add somebody else in so that they can, again, keep going, keep competing. If you're losing a player due to injury, you're taking a hit on your team. So you want to have the ability to at least try to fill that gap with somebody that's on the waiver wire. It's not going to be somebody that's going to be as good as the player that's going down or that you're losing, but it's at least a way to where you can field somebody in that spot and keep going and keep being competitive and keep, again, giving that fantasy manager an opportunity and a reason to continue going, continue competing, and continue trying to win.
Correct. You want to give every player maximum potential to be able to compete and get their max amount of games in there. And it's no reason for any league to limit those amount of games and opportunities you have to accumulate points to help even the playing field just a little bit.
To me, that's what fantasy is all about. And if you don't have that, it's going to lead to turnover and stuff like that, you know? And again, if going back to our original conversation, if you want to play just for money, you don't care who you're playing against. You're just trying to, you know, win and take people's money. Then, all right, cool. You don't care. But if you're in a league with buddies and stuff, then you absolutely want to care. And you guys want to all be on the same page. So it's very important if you're a commissioner of a league that you're playing in with a bunch of friends and stuff, to get everybody together before the league starts and say, hey guys, here's how we've set the league up. Is everybody in agreement with this? Does anybody have any objections? Does anybody have ideas, suggestions? You know, and make sure that everybody's on the same page. Because otherwise, like we've said, you're going to have people that, you know, either during it or at the end of it, they're going to go, these rules weren't fair to everybody. It didn't make it as fun. It didn't make it as enticing for me to want to go on there and continue playing. Yada, yada, yada. So, and speaking of waivers and injuries and stuff like that, the last thing I wanted to bring up real quick, and we've talked about this specific to Yahoo. Yahoo has what's called an IL plus spot. Mm-hmm. And my question here that I have is, should IL plus spots be utilized on rosters? Again, it's completely up to the league. My personal opinion, I don't recommend using IL plus because they're easy to manipulate. And we've talked about this before. If you've got a guy who's marked as just day to day and they're not even playing that day, you can throw them on your IL plus and pick up an extra player who is playing that day and get an extra guy. And what if it turns out that the next day, the one that was marked as day to day winds up coming back? You've essentially gained yourself a free player. And, you know, if you're playing in a head-to-head league, you know, that can cause a lot of mismatches and, you know, just lead to a lot of unfair stuff, you know, where one team's able to make a bunch more moves. Now, again, that gets back into the discussion of, like, do you have restrictions? Do you have weekly or season-long restrictions? And if you do, then maybe you could utilize IL Plus and just take that into consideration. Like, hey, if you're going to utilize a pickup here, that's one of your pickups for the week or for the season. You just have to keep that in mind. That's one less move that you'll have to use later. So again, it all comes down to preference. It all comes down to, you know, the league and the commissioner of the league and what everybody else in the league thinks. So you just have to be in agreement on stuff like that. But for me personally, I would recommend not using IL plus and instead turn waivers on and use waivers strictly for being able to drop players who are injured but just haven't had their statuses updated yet. And, you know, just make sure that everybody in the league understands that, like, that's what you're using waivers for. And so, you know, don't bother trying to bid on anybody because you're not going to get them.
Yeah, again, I was going to say, technically, I guess you could use both, right? Same time?
You could. If you wanted to. Yeah, you can. These are all options. And that's what's great about fantasy is you have all kinds of way of customizing your leagues and the way that you want to play. So, again, to kind of bring this conversation full circle and wrap it up here, it all comes down to what you, the fantasy player, want to get out of the experience, in my opinion. If you want to, you know, strictly play for money, you don't care who you're playing against, you don't care if your draft is online or whatever, you just want to, like, play and try to win and try to make money, then you can play whatever way you want to play. You can play roto and you can just, you know, throw your team out there. You can do best ball. You can just draft and don't even worry about trades and, you know, pickups and stuff like that. Or you can do some combination. You can do, like, you know, you could do a league where it's like best ball, but you can customize it to where you can maybe make some moves, but not many, you know, just whatever you want to do. It's all up to you. And then if you're playing in a league with friends and people, you know, it's really important that you communicate with those people too and make sure that everybody's in agreement, everybody's on the same page, because otherwise people are going to argue and not have fun and ultimately stop playing. And that's not what you want. You don't want leagues that are imbalanced. You don't want, especially if it's head-to-head, you don't want two or three teams at the bottom that aren't setting their lineup and haven't touched their team since the beginning of the year, and they're going up against other teams, and then the matchups get mismatched, and, you know, you've got all kinds of advantages one way and disadvantages in other ways, and it leads to a huge imbalance. So
yeah, no, that's probably the biggest nightmare I think with fantasy sports is the imbalance there. But yeah,
it's a reason why a lot of people quit it and
exactly
just, and wind up just doing DFS or just doing betting and stuff like that.
Also,
you can do all of these things, but
I was gonna say, I feel a lot of people quit and they don't really voice their concerns to the actual commissioner or to the entire league. They usually just tell somebody else a lot of the time and do it. I mean, do it before the season, like that, put it out there, let everybody know. Like you said, you get with your friends. Usually it's a group of friends that you're in a league with, and talk it out, vote on stuff. Who cares? Like, hash it out, like, discuss things that are positive, negative, and get your league almost as perfect as you can. So everybody's having the most amount of fun, like you said. So,
yep. I think you do it before and after the league. I think you do it right before the season, you know, when you're getting ready to figure out who's committing for the upcoming year.
Yep.
And then I think you do it at the end of the year so that people have it fresh in their minds and they can kind of, you can get everybody's thoughts. You know, how did it go? You know, how did you guys like this setup? How did you like these settings? You know, and who has suggestions for changes, you know? Yep.
It's like the professional world. You got to have your lessons learned and go over those things. So
absolutely.
That's super important. I agree. But yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
I think that covers a lot of everything. Like I said, I know you
huge conversation,
a little more experience with the commissioning and the setting up of leagues than I do. I'm more or less just a player on my end, but it's there's so many things you don't think of that you need to think of. So hopefully some of this conversation, hopefully if there's one thing that, you know, made you think, hey, maybe I should tweak something with my league, or maybe I should talk to my friends about this league and a setting we have set, go do it, voice it, voice your concerns, make everybody's got to be happy. That's the main thing, is as happy as possible. I guess I should say, not everybody can always be happy, but yeah, hopefully this helps. This thing will be out. We'll, you know, put it out even closer again. You know, maybe we'll republish just this segment as the draft days get closer for a lot of people. But yeah, hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you learned some stuff. Hopefully you got some ideas from it. And if you're new to fantasy, this is a great introduction. You got a lot of information at one time. So you got a nice crash course. And if you're not new to fantasy, like I said, hopefully you pick something up. But
and feel free to reach out if anybody is listening to this and has thoughts on this or any ideas of their own. You know, please reach out, contact us. You know, we'll do an actual mailbag episode if we, you know, get enough questions and get enough feedback. So please reach out to us.
Agreed. And yeah, you can send that feedback directly through, you know, Spotify and Spotify for podcasters. There's a message place. You can send us voice messages, actually. And then, as you mentioned, we're on X, Twitter, we're on Threads. You can find us at Menace Podman. We get new episodes every week. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing MBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So, if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle.
And Miss Parman.